Hello, my name's Gary Stevens. Welcome to Line of Judah Online once again. We're dealing with the subject called speaking and praying in tongues, and we're doing part six from the seven-part series. And the topic today is called the public side of praying in tongues. There are tongues in the individual's believer's life or private life, and there are tongues in the church or public life. Let us now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 3 to 18. Starting at verse 3, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to all men, but he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more than you prophesies, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in a tongue, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification." Tongues must be interpreted in the church. We go to verse 6 and start here. "But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either in by revelation or by knowledge, by prophesying or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in sounds, how will it be known what the pipes have played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for the battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air." Verse 10, "There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know what the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you may seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I also will sing with understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say Amen at your giving thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, yet in the church I would rather speak 5 words of understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue." We see here speaking in tongues with interpretation is equivalent to prophecy. If the utterance in tongues is interpreted so that the church can understand it, what is said, then the one prophesying is not greater. The church is edified or built up when tongues are interpreted. Let me illustrate this. If you have 2 10-cent pieces, they are equal to a 20-cent piece. If I take 1 10-cent piece as tongues and the other 10-cent piece as interpretation of tongues in public, they are both equal to prophecy, the 20-cent coin. If there is no interpretation, then the one speaking in tongues should stop, as it does not build up the unbeliever. We can also speak in tongues in a church service in the worship, because it is between us and God personally. Often as a believer, you may be in a church service when you start to speak or pray in tongues, and someone next to you may say, "If there's not an interpretation for your tongue, please stop." If the believer is praying in tongues out loud to the church, if there's not an interpretation for that tongue back into the normal language, you might say, then that person is to stop. But if a believer is praying to God in worship, speaking or praying in tongues quietly to themselves, that is in order, because they are praying between them and God and not the church, even though they are in a church service doing worship. It's a personal thing, and then no one has the right to say you must stop, because it's personal. But if that believer speaks out loud in the church, the speaking of tongues, then there must be an interpretation for that. And if there's no interpretation, the believer who's speaking out loud in tongues must stop, because it can confuse people, particularly the unbelievers. What Paul is saying here, that he speaks more than any other in tongues, but he's saying in a church service he would prefer to speak in a normal language so people could understand. We see this in verse 18, where he says, "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, Yet in a church, I would rather speak five words of my understanding than and teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. What Paul is saying is in a church service where you've got believers and unbelievers coming together, he would prefer to speak in a normal tongue that people could be taught and people could learn around him rather than just straight tongues. Paul is not saying you don't speak in tongues at all. He's just saying in a church service there is an order that when a person speaks in tongues, it needs to be interpreted if that person is speaking out loud to the church. If the person is speaking to themselves quietly during worship or whatever, speaking in tongues to themselves quietly is in order and it does not need interpretation. But Paul is not saying that he does not want people to speak in tongues, for he said he speaks more than all in tongues. The next part coming up will be part 7, the final part, and the topic will be questions and answers. Again, I thank you for being with me on this important subject called speaking and praying in tongues. I hope by now you're starting to build an understanding in your heart and your thinking of what is good and what is not good, and what is right and not right with speaking in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Thank you very much, and God bless.